Right, boys, I've got the wet wipes. Not wet wipes, the dental wipes. I wipe down the surfaces and where you're going to be sitting and all that jazz. I've already wiped down my side. Got to let the listeners know that we're taking this thing seriously.
Yeah.
So I just...
As I was coming up here, I went to the office, stole some more supplies.
If I can't get loot toilet roll in Tesco, I'm going to get
the toilet. Did you hear about certain hospitals? The staff, the teething,
it's not the staff, it's the patient. It's like people come in, yeah, it's not the staff.
They're taking the supply, hand size, and soap, Gabriel.
You've got no choice. You can't bend them in the shop.
What, the people in the hospital? Nah, man. When I read that, I thought, that is dread. That is dread.
It is dread, because the worst thing would be someone comes in, doesn't sanitize.
He picks the whole thing. Yeah. Nah, man. That's poor. That's poor, man. Well, it's tough times right about now.
Yeah, man.
Tough times for real.
It just feels like, you know, it's like Wednesday night. Oh, it's not so bad.
Thursday night, yeah, we're all going to die. You know what I mean? Friday's apocalypse. You know what I mean? It's just...
I'm worried. I'm going to put something up like this.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Yeah. It's coming. Corona is here, brethren.
It's here for real.
So who's at work still? You guys all still at work?
No, I've been away from home for like the past 2 weeks anyway.
So okay.
It doesn't really affect me. But they probably won't see me in the office until about August anyway.
Oh, wow. August, you know.
They barely see me online until August. I'm like, get up at 8:30, turn it on. Sat in YouTube playing in the background so that it doesn't go offline. I'm glad to take this into cruise control.
like I said, if sports was still on, it would be like the perfect.
Oh, man.
But because then you reach the weekends, like, even when people don't want to go out, you're like, okay, I have to sit at home, or what's there to watch on TV?
These are the times that I wish, like, I was still a gamer. I'm going to see if I can get back into Football Manager.
Come on, G, man. Come back.
I'm going to need to purchase that.
Come back. Because that will get you through the days.
You just bang out 10 hours straight. Yeah, man. Come home. Come home, man. Come home. Right, it's Joel. So what, is your policy at work that you guys just aren't going in, or is it like most of your offices?
Well, we're online marketing, so there's no one needs to be in the office.
Okay.
Yeah, so for us, it's like, in my company, we come to the office like when you want, because we're international, we have people we work with in Italy, Czech Republic, so everything's online. So for us, it's like business as usual.
Definitely.
Just do it from home.
And if we're working with people, ain't no one working in Italy, so you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
But the thing is, as much as we laugh about it, it could actually trigger another recession.
For me, there's no could about it.
It's going to happen. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And it started already, as far as I'm concerned. The amount of money has been lost in business already is peak. It is really peak. All right. So yeah, I just wanted to. We've got the wet wipes to just wipe down the ting. Wipe down your corner.
Appreciate you.
So, you know, instead of taking this seriously.
Serious.
You know what I mean.
Please.
All right. So what have you yours was today, innit? I was just asking the boys if they were still working. They're all at home though. These guys are working from home.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I'm waiting for that chat, really. We had some kind of meeting today about routers. Is this how low this is?
No, it should be able to go higher.
I kind of break stuff, so. There was some meeting today about the whole virus and how working is going to be. We'll see what happens because I don't know. I'm not really, you know, it changes day to day, doesn't it? It's changed so quickly.
It does.
There's a lot for people to consider, and I don't expect businesses and organisations to just know all of a sudden what to do. You know, it's unprecedented, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're all working it out and trying to work our way forward, and that includes them. So yeah, give them time.
Uncharted territory, indeed.
Yeah,
Indeed. Right, let's kick off. If you haven't realised by now, listeners out there, this is going to be a special and possibly, if you believe some headquarters, the last ever Football Fans podcast.
I won't go that far.
It's always my
ass.
If it doesn't take us out, it's going to take out football for sure. But welcome to the Football Fans podcast with myself, Jordan, Jarrett, Brian. I'm joined this week by Arsenal fan Basil. What are you saying, Basil?
I'm good. Like, I feel like walking through the streets of London, like I'm the last survivor of a zombie apocalypse.
It's like some really, really shit horror film.
It's all right. If the season's void, I mean, you guys would have been 12. So you're okay. Oh, wow.
You're going there already, G. All right. I hear that.
2-footed. Uncompromising.
2 minutes into the game.
It's all right. I've got something for you. Don't worry about that.
I'm sorry, I'm just missing the competition.
Any sorts available, you're taking them. Fair enough. We've also got Spurs fan, Joel. What are you saying, Joel?
I'm very well, sorry, as I sip my water unprofessionally. I'm good, I'm blessed.
You well?
I'm blessed. It's always, in always, as I always say, my brother. So, yeah.
Good. So, did everyone have any problems coming in today, or was it the opposite? Was it really easy to get in today?
Because it's quite easy.
Very easy.
So first of all, what have you guys all made of the last, I say week, but really it's the last kind of 3 or 4 days where it's really, decisions have been made football-wise. What have you guys made of the whole coronavirus situation, just period? Start with you, G.
Yeah, well, George, I mean, you know very well, you know, I was pushing the hashtag keep the gates open. And you know what? I'll hold my hands up and say I was wrong. The gate probably should have been closed a couple of weeks back. But that's why I'm not the Prime Minister, and that's why I'm not the head
just
of
worked it out.
That's why I'm not the head of the Premier League. And the thing is, I just think, I mean, the virus is obviously terrible, like on a human level, but on an organisation level, I think no one has kind of put themselves in glory in the UK. I think the government have been poor, and the football authorities have kind of leading from that have been poor as well. I don't see how it can be on Thursday night a big announcement that everything's going to go ahead, and then Arteta gets it, one person gets it, and then suddenly they'll say, "Oh no, actually we've got to change, we've got to have an emergency meeting." It's just crazy for me. You know, the people that travelled, or the people that, you know, like I look at the situation with where in Spain that people can't travel, but Atletico fans are coming to Liverpool to watch the game.
How that happens?
How does it just seem? I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, you know, it's unprecedented, and I guess it's difficult to deal with. But it's just kind of shown that in a crisis, I don't feel this country is ready for a crisis. Definitely.
So what I'll say is, Basil, this whole corona thing's been around now for a few months now, and it's kind of really hit the UK in the last few weeks.
Yeah.
And I work, for those that don't know, I work in news, so I've kind of been following the story, albeit accidentally, just because I'm in the newsroom, from the get-go. And I've seen gradually how it's kind of got into more and more countries, and the numbers have risen in various places. I haven't been, and I'm still not now, panicking. I'm still not changing my patterns of behaviour in any way. I mean, if the virus has shown one thing to me, it's who the nasty people are. It's the nasty people. I'm like, oh, we can wash our hands now? Like, you weren't washing your hands before? What? So I'm like, okay, I see you. But as the numbers grow internationally and globally, they grow obviously in this country as well. But the reason why I'm not panicking and not stressing about it as much as maybe I should and other people are is because the numbers for me are still too small to make me really want to devote a significant amount of energy and time of my day into what's going on.
Yeah.
So put football to one side for just a second. What are your general thoughts on the coronavirus, how as a country we've responded to it, and kind of in your immediate circles, work and personal, what you've made of it from other people? Regarding other people,
I think I had the same feelings as you did. I did not really take it serious until probably Friday, but even still then, it hasn't changed my behaviours. Like I said, I regularly wash my hands anyway. So same as you, you start to have an ego eye as to who are the dirty people and who are the hygienic people. Same here, I think, because at first I was looking at the mortality rate, and when it first hit this country, it wasn't as high for me to start panicking. And secondly, I know it's bad, but it's only affecting a certain amount of people, people with underlying health issues and people of a certain age bracket. And so selfishly, sometimes think about yourself and think, well, it shouldn't really impact me as much should I get it. And that, and because of that, you start to have an attitude where you don't take it as serious. I think the country was definitely slow to react to this. Even still now, I think it's still, the show goes on, even till this day. I don't think they're really properly put any procedures or measures in place to really deal with this.
So do you have any suggestion as to what you think they should be doing? Because I'm no fan of this government. I'm no fan of Boris Johnson. Anyone that knows me knows what I feel about this government and this man. But if I'm playing devil's advocate, because everyone's killing them, it feels to me like he's in a slight position of lose-lose. If he moves too quickly, he panics the whole country and it could be worse. If he moves too slowly, people get infected and then it's like, why don't you react to... Do you know what I mean? It's a difficult job because we are in, as I mentioned earlier on, uncharted territory. So if I'm playing devil's advocate, what should he and the government have done?
I think maybe put things in place. I think put more of the advisory procedures in place much early. I think when he first looked here, I think our rates in the UK wasn't as high as other countries. So for him, there wasn't a need to react. Maybe, I think it was more reactive than proactive. Maybe he could have been a bit more proactive in terms of sending a message out to the public and creating a bit of an assurance for everyone around. In terms of, I think the, if we go to like the FA, the Football Association, how they've sort of reacted to this, I think we were only going on the proviso of what the government were telling them. And so really and truly, they didn't really take any measures because the government hadn't really put down any measures. Mm-hmm. So for them, it's like, well, we can't react in that way unless it's come from above. I think maybe they could have stopped a few fans from coming to a few games much earlier rather than waiting in the manner that they actually did. Mm. And echoing what G said, I think it was quite ridiculous that allowed Spanish fans to actually enter a stadium in Liverpool when they weren't allowed to even enter any stadium.
In their own stadium, in their own Madrid, country.
So I think that was a bit... That wasn't great from them. And I think, secondly, they only reacted because a manager and a player tested positive for this. I think they could have reacted a bit earlier in terms of putting things in place to ensure more safety procedures were taken serious.
Okay.
Because without that, games would have still gone ahead and fans would have still been allowed to gather at these stadiums.
I think that was, Joel, a massive PR gap between Arsenal, Chelsea and the Premier League, in that when the news broke within 6 hours that Arteta had it, I think it broke at about 10 o'clock.
Right.
And then first thing in the morning, I think it was like 4 a.m, the news broke that Hudson-Odoi had it, the Premier League would have thought to themselves, well, you could have at least told us that first, because we look like idiots now. We've said last night that games are going ahead and now we've got to announce crisis meetings. Again, football to one side for a second. What have you made of the situation nationally and how we've reacted to it and what the government has, as their stance has been?
Yeah, of course, there's so much to take in. Like me, I'm like yourself, newsroom bound. So there's a lot of information coming in, but also got the added experience of mother of my kids, who's Italian, so I just thank God her mum's here at the moment, as strange as that may sound, because if she wasn't, it would she would have been going out of her mind. Her mum's in that bracket of being an older person, so yeah, that would just would have been unthinkable. But she still has aunties, cousins, nurses, doctors who have all been hospitalised by this.
Wow.
She's lost aunties to this. Her brother's wife just lost an uncle to this. The situation, in the way that it mushroomed and developed over there, we're so disconnected from that. That's why there's such a haze of, it's not that bad, or let's see what happens, or we know it's going to peak in a couple of months. I have no idea what's coming here. Prepare. That's all I can say to a lot of people. There are certain things I'll tell you off camera, that you need to do, just have in your house, do you know what I mean? Just in case anybody's affected or anybody around you. This place, for me, was looking at how things were being rolled out across Europe, across the world. And they didn't stop certain things because this is an economy and a society that can't just grind to a halt like that. It's been interesting for me to observe it, knowing, like, having had eyes on this for about a month, that it's how societal constructs are put together and how they operate that's enabled the likes of China to get on top of it as quickly as they did, South Korea to get on top of it as quickly as they did, And you kind of offset that by looking at the way it's been dealt with in Iran and Italy. And those are some of the worst cases. And it's different in different places because of different laws, different things that they adhere to. So people are going to say that we've been slow, but our country runs how it runs. And I know that Boris wouldn't have been able to implement a lot of the things that have been implemented in those other countries just like that.
So you're leading to the point that those countries you've named, there's a very draconian style of governing those countries.
I'd say, because I couldn't call it draconian in Italy, I'd just say there's a different mentality and different set of circumstances that bring them to who they are as a people. And so for them, especially in Italy, the whole notion of coming together in smaller regions and stuff, this whole regional thing, is different to how it is here. They come together a lot easier, a lot quicker. But this has been interesting because they've had to separate. And I think that that's what's kind of maybe helped to slow down the problem over there. Here, you couldn't have done what they've done there over here. You just couldn't, because you would have done what you did, looked at mortality rate. Yeah. People would have just not cared about any rules. People would have seen some of the measures that are going to come in 2 weeks' time. They would have seen those if they'd have been brought in, as necessary as they might have been. They couldn't have brought them in first. Mm-hmm. It has to be an evolution of thought, thinking. People have to really get it before, like, oh, yeah, no, this makes sense.
So give us like a real-time example of what you're kind of referring to in terms of things that Italy can do and have done that... If Boris had done it a week ago...
Restricted travel by public transport. Should have been done straight away. Because I put out a tweet, one of my stories. I just took a picture. I was travelling on the train because I've stopped doing this from 2 weeks ago. Touching anything. I don't touch anything. Literally, I go on a train...
I saw one of your stories.
I stand there like this. Mm. But what was interesting was watching the amount of people that are still holding onto the rail as they go up the escalator. They don't need to hold onto it. Mm. It's unnecessary. But it's instinctive. You... done it your whole life, so you actually just go onto the rail.
Do you know, I became so aware of that the last time I went to work and I was kicking off. I realized, same when I got up, I put my hand there. But when I went to work the last time, about 2 weeks ago, I did that and I raised my hand again. So
now
I don't
actually. Now you're retraining anymore. Yourself, and that's what a lot of us have to do, literally retrain how we move. Just while this is where it
well,
is.
Well, I was just gonna say, I mean, I'm not doing that when I'm on the tube. If I have to hold onto the bar, I'll hold onto the bar. Yeah. But I do that knowing that the tube is nasty anyway.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So if you're going to do that, I'd have to do that forever. Because when this kind of this virus goes, the tube's still going to be nasty.
I'll be honest with you. The virus ain't going to go. That's my opinion.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not going to go. It's here now. It's part of our life. The reason why you shouldn't do it at the moment, in my opinion, is because there is no vaccine.
Okay. Yeah.
And so... the tube's nasty, but all of those bugs that are there are understood.
Okay.
We know what they do their worst case scenario. Yeah. And that's not even saying that they don't kill people. They do.
Mm.
The flu numbers, people that die from flu, you've seen all of them. Everyone's seen all of them.
Yeah. But at least you know how to combat those.
There is a combat.
Yeah.
That DNA is understood. This isn't. And it's a highly contagious pathogen.
Yeah.
The likes of which you've just not seen. So don't play with that, in my opinion. Mm. Because, okay, Jordan, you're all right. You may be asymptomatic. You know what that means?
Mm-hmm.
So you're comfortable with just spreading? Everyone who's around you and comes into contact with you, things that you touch, that's where we've got to be in terms of our responsibility. Not just, I'm going to get sick, but actually I might be asymptomatic. I might not show symptoms. I might not have got sick, but I could carry this and then pass it on.
And I will say, G, I mean, I we're recording this now on a Monday evening. I, last week... woke up Thursday morning not feeling great. I was working late. I had to do an interview overnight at like midnight, so didn't get much sleep. Woke up feeling a bit rubbish and thought, uh-oh, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Went into work. I wasn't like death's door, but I wasn't feeling great. Yeah. Bit bunged up, bit tired, and a minor cough that kind of every 10 minutes or so. But I didn't tell anyone that I wasn't feeling great. I just kind of like, because I knew if the minute you say now you're not feeling well, no argument. You know,
self-isolate.
Yeah, move from me. That's what I would say. It's always done to me. But what is the reaction that you're seeing from other people? You know, in regards to how they're dealing with if they have something, or in trying to not get it. Are you seeing drastic changes in behaviour in going around your daily life?
No, because I saw one today, literally coming from work. I got on and someone got on in the full gambit, bro. You had the
masks,
the hoodie, like gloves. And got out of tissue. Listen. I wanted to spud him, but then I just wanted to say, listen, I respect how you're moving. You know what I mean? Because on the carriage, it was people were marveling. Like, oh, look at him.
That would have been the same.
Yeah. I get it. I get why people are marveling. In 2 weeks' time, they won't be there.
God,
until Thursday, probably, yeah. I hadn't really seen that much of a change. It's like, it was like one extreme to the other, like the extreme of they got people like they're putting plastic things on their head on the tube or something like that. You know what I mean? And then the other extreme where people are just acting as if normal, going to parties and raves and stuff like that. Yeah. But I can see since the weekend the gap's starting to close. I guess, you know, within my profession, you know, what I do at work, I hear about a lot of things. So I hear about now people coming and saying, you know what, I don't feel comfortable sitting next to someone because they're sneezing. Or even the other way around, like, should I be in the office because people are making people nervous by sneezing and stuff like that. And I've had people email me, can you tell that person that they need to go home? This is crazy. Can you tell that person they need to go home because they're just making me feel uncomfortable? So, yeah, I have seen it ramp up. I must say, I still don't think we are as on point as maybe other countries would be, even as people, regardless of the government. But I do think that comes down from the messages that we get from the government, which are all quite, even up until Thursday to a certain extent, was quite relaxed. All advisory, maybe you shouldn't do this, maybe you shouldn't do that. And I think until there is a firm message, which I take your point that it might take some time to get there, but until there's a firm message, I don't think that people are really gonna jump in. Apart from this crazy thing where you can't buy loo roll in the shopping anymore,
right?
And I've got to go rob some for work.
But in fairness, is like what Charles said. In this country, we're not equipped to deal with it. So for Boris, he's thinking business as usual because he sees the financial impact.
It sounds really crass because I've changed my mind on this one. Yeah. It sounds really crass to kind of be putting money before people's lives. And obviously, we know that you shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
But he can't just make... He's got billions and billions on his neck.
Yeah.
He can't... It's not as simple for him to say, I'm going to... It's a non-question. I'm going to think of people before money. He's got to think of markets. So do you have any sympathy for the government at all in terms of how they've softly dealt with this? Or do you just think when it comes to people's lives, that's all that matters? Shut the thing down and let's try and deal with this.
Logically, you can give maybe about 5% sympathy in terms of it's part of their job. But I guess as a leader, the people come first before the finances. And that's the message you have to send out. At the moment, you can tell it's the reverse. Yeah. The money comes first.
So I'm going
to
push you.
And the people will eventually, the finances will follow the people eventually. There's no people to spend the money.
But how about you flip it? If you make a decision for the people, especially for the people, with the numbers still being so small, and they are small in this country, if you mess up the economy, that's going to have a long-term impact on a lot more than 21 people have died so far. It's going to have a bigger impact on everybody.
So let people die.
Well, I'm just saying, if we really break it down and get really, really kind of horrible about it, it's either lose 50, 100 people to this, or it's really impact on 10 million people by a poor economy. That's what he's got to decide.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm not in the job.
Do you know what I mean? This is what I'm saying.
No.
This is what I'm saying.
You would have done a Theresa May.
Do you know what I mean? I'm not defending Boris Johnson. I'm just saying it's very easy to say it's people before money.
I get what you say, but then I also think, could there not be a resolution that caters to all?
Maybe. I'm not saying he's done the right thing. I'm just saying it's easy to kind of say Boris should have done this for the people. But he's got to think of the whole country. The country is pinned by the economy.
If there's
no economy, then there's no people.
But China and South Korea are also thinking of their economy as well. And they have probably took a measured hit on their economy to get it under control. Why couldn't we do that?
Well, maybe as Joel said earlier on, maybe different countries can get away with doing different things.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? The things you can impose in China, maybe not you can't impose here.
Yeah, I think the people are a bit more rebellious.
Yeah,
if you tell them you can't come out, people will still come out. I mean, I watched the news this afternoon And there in Spain, in Benidorm, they're struggling to manage the British tourists because whereas they've imposed no one should be out, they're still out. And their response are, well, you catch the flu, you catch this flu, you recover.
They're very blasé about
it. You recover, you have the beers, you're fine.
The beers,
that's exactly what they said.
They're in Benidorm.
Yeah.
I can't hate on that. I ain't mad at them.
But in Italy, they've got like a €300 levy or something if you get caught out or something like that.
Let's get real. 8 to 9 million people live and work in London. I'm just saying. The Met don't cope as it is, bro.
Yeah.
He couldn't. Do you see what I'm saying about if you think about what's happened in the last week, as quickly as it's happened, they've still spun it in a way where they're phasing things in.
Mm-hmm.
Even today's speech, even today's announcement that he's going to make daily speeches, which was the news this morning.
Yeah,
right?
It allows them to drip feed things in over the course of a week. Yeah.
So these things will come in, but they're phased in a way where we're looking at, oh, well, he's done this now. It'll be the topic of discussion for the day. Have you seen? He said, don't go to the pub.
But again,
we didn't know that already.
But Joe, again, you guys are making me almost defend Boris. Is that not smart governance?
No. You never heard me say that they've done poorly.
Okay.
At no stage have I blamed the government.
No, I'm not saying you have.
I'm talking, for me, I almost see what he's done.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And as much as it hurt my spirit to watch him come out and tell the people that elected him into office,
you're going to die. Or you may be
going to lose loved ones.
You're
going to
die.
Mm.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
You're going to leave. You're going to... That's think about that. Yeah. He come out and said, there's no war going on, you know?
Mm.
Yeah.
He came out and said, you're going to lose people. Huh? That's new for us. That to me, that was 24 hours before I got over that one. Really? Is that what you're saying? But again, at that point, I know what's coming for their natures.
Mm.
Like, I know what's coming for them. They know what's coming for them. If you've seen those little videos of those doctors, they know what's coming.
Yeah.
There was a piece in The Independent this week. Brilliant. It was written by an anonymous doctor who gets it. They haven't got nowhere near enough ventilators. I know that the Chinese have sent ventilators to Italy. Hear me?
Mm.
I'm waiting for that story to break here that they sent them here ahead of what's coming. But there ain't enough ventilators. So people are going to die.
So before we get into the kind of football impact on from the coronavirus, just generally, it's quite clear where you stand on this, Joel. You're moving into changing your behavioural patterns based on what's happening?
Oh, yeah, I changed my behaviour. I just didn't want football to stop.
It's quite serious, isn't it?
just open the gates. I'll protect myself.
You're not serious. And Basil, are you changing how you move now? Is this changing? Have you changed?
A little bit.
Okay.
I would say so.
Are you one of those people that's at work every 5 minutes pushing the thing on the gel, gelling up your hands? Because people... Anyway.
No, because for me, I was...
What's wrong with these people?
That's the thing.
I hear you, the gel's a bit...
For me, I didn't understand why people were buying so many antibacterial gel. I'm like, using soap and water is more effective.
It's actually bad for your hands, those gels.
Strips
and then people are eating their wraps and food with the same gel, and I'm like, you guys are really dumb. All right, so... The news broke on Thursday, and our newsroom went crazy. We love you, Joe.
So people are really dumb.
Sorry, I know. I'm just seeing this. I go back to the whole washing hands thing, and I don't want to cast aspersions on any kind of particular group of people. But I'm just like, you guys are just from a different planet. But anyway. So, Joe, we'll start with you. Yeah. The news broke on Thursday.
Yep.
The Premier League announced... Let's go back to was it Wednesday, I think, when they said that they weren't going to ban postpone games, or the government said they weren't going to postpone mass events or sporting fixtures. Everything's going ahead. Cool. That night, Mikel Arteta, the news broke that he tested positive for the coronavirus. The following morning, we hear there's a crisis meeting planned for the Friday morning with the Premier League regarding what to do. We find out a couple of hours later, they then announced that there's going to be a postponement of all Premier League games until the third/fourth of April. What did you make of the Premier League response overnight to, as G said earlier on, the Mikel Arteta news? And are you convinced that that was the trigger that forced them into having a meeting?
Maybe not. I don't mean, you know, so I wasn't privy like that. So it's just a guess. But I believe they might have...
It was a big moonwalk within hours.
After that weekend's football. I don't think we would have got much football after that weekend's anyway, honestly, knowing how it's gone.
Okay.
So I think they were maybe hoping they could have strung
squeeze
it out.
One more weekend.
Yeah, get that weekend, because then we would have been close, one game closer to Liverpool winning the title. They knew, they probably knew what was coming. They've had their eye on this, you know what I mean? So, but I think the overall precedent to stop, suspend, is because of what the NBA done. I think that was the biggest brand globally to, ahead of any mass hysteria or hyperbole, look at the situation and say, we're not exposing our players to that. We're not exposing our fans to that. We're going to take responsibility. That is what set the precedent for mainstream sport for me.
I got a friend who's from lives in the States, who's he's big into American rugby or NFL, whatever they call it. And he was saying
American
to me,
rugby.
Just giving them new names.
Whatever Christening they call them new names. It's a foolish sport. Anyway, and he was saying to me, he reckons the reason why the NBA and all the most American sports put a shutdown on their sports and leagues is because of the massive litigation culture in America. There's a big suing culture in America. So they're so scared in America that if they keep letting sports happen and fans coming in, it just takes one American to be like, yeah, I've got the coronavirus flu. I'm suing y'all. And they'll win. You know that they'll win. So they were like, yeah, we're not risking that. So well, we're shutting it
imagine
down.
A class action. Yeah, like, that's everybody. Like, yeah. In the stadium. Like.
Yeah.
So yeah, like, I get why they did that. They're very litigious out there. But I think that that was a big wake-up call to all the major responsible you know, organisations, companies, governing bodies around the world. The Olympics have got a big, big decision.
They said it's going ahead.
Yeah.
The
Prime Minister did. But that's after, if you've noticed, there's been a lot of back and forth, a lot of posturing between Tokyo and the IOC.
Yeah.
A lot of posturing. And it was all started by Thomas Bach, who obviously is at the helm. It was one of their longest serving members, by him saying that a decision had to be made in 3 months. That was about a month ago, right?
It was about a month, yeah.
And then Tokyo moved to say what they said in respect of, you know, the show must go on. And because who's going to cancel it, Jay? Is it going to be Tokyo or is it going to be the IOC?
Well, this is why I found that announcement on Saturday, because I was running around doing a piece on Saturday and the news broke. I found that announcement, from the Olympics, from the Prime Minister, really baffling. I just thought, one of all the major sporting events that are coming up this summer, that's at the back end. You're the one person that can afford to just say nothing and wait.
Yeah.
The Premier League, all the other sports, they have to make decisions now.
Yeah, he can't, because those sponsors, do you know how many qualifiers for the Olympics?
True. That's what
I'm saying.
That's true.
There's disruption across the world.
That's true.
Athletes can't fly.
Yeah.
You're quarantined for two, it depends where you go. It's an upheaval on a scale that not been reported, actually.
Yeah, but for him to be so bossy about it and be like, it's going ahead, I just you put yourself into a corner there, like, you kind of have to do this thing now.
It's crazy. Of all the events, that's probably the worst one you want going ahead, because of the amount of countries that are involved and the amount of fans you have coming in. I mean, you have more countries than a World Cup event.
Yeah.
So for them to actually announce that is going ahead, I was dumbfounded.
Yeah, exactly.
But if it's not going ahead because of Corona...
Yeah.
Then I believe there's refunds that one can start to, on hotels and flights that one can start to, if you can say that's where I was going.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's a lot of money, right?
Yeah.
So it's economy all over the world.
Yeah, right?
The balancing act is major, because it can't grind to a halt. It can't just stop. Like you said, people die anyway.
Yeah.
So it's a strange one with a sports concern.
It was weird. So back to the Premier League. Yeah. It was your boy that was the first player that was announced.
Actually, not your boy, your manager.
Player-wise.
You can't even keep your manager in check, you know what I mean? You see him now hugging David Moyes, passing it on as well.
Infecting the whole league. What did you make of the Premier League? It was a very quick, I think, U-turn from 6 hours. They were like, the plan was to play, as Joel said, that weekend's round of games. To hours later, we're having a crisis meeting where we all knew from that they were going to announce a postponement at least.
It made them look bad. It showed a lack of leadership from the Premier League, and I think it convinced me more than anything else. In that same way, we talked about the government, that the first thought was money, and like you said, let's see if we can squeeze it for another week. Let's see how far we can go. if it only took two cases for it then to be postponed and indefinitely, I don't see why that changes. I don't see why that changes overnight or within a few hours. So it's just clear to it just looks bad all around. And I think Rooney made some good points about kind of players being used as guinea pigs.
Yeah. I feel like he had a ghostwriter.
I mean, he definitely had a ghostwriter. But, you know, it's a quotes attributed to Rooney.
Disrespect.
So rude.
But yeah, he made some valid points. Like, and, you know, and again, I didn't think of it. I was like, well, you know, they're players, they're billionaires. Just get them on the pitch. Spray them up if you want. But at the end of the day, they're human beings as well. Like, and they have older family members and they have people that they're concerned about. And they were forced out. I mean, this whole thing with the National Football League as well, where that's gone ahead, like,
I spoke to the coach. I forgot the team, Darren Byfield, manager. I forgot the team he manages, but he managed a team in the National League. Just literally a couple of hours ago, I spoke to him, and he is fuming that the game on the weekend...
Did he put out a tweet?
He was tweeting all today and yesterday.
I saw a discussion.
He was absolutely riffing that the league didn't shut down the games on the weekend. Their game actually did. They decided amongst his team and the opposition they weren't going to play. But the league's games went ahead. They meant to make a decision themselves. So you're right. He's fuming that the National League games have still gone ahead, whereas the Premier League and the millionaires have been taken out of their hands.
Yeah, and it just seems to be all about money. So I can't trust anyone's intention of it, that anyone's got our best interest. That's why I'm just like, well, you know, I'm just going to look after myself. And that's the end of it.
I want football.
Yeah. So I'm joking. Football, it's right that football stopped. But at the end of the day, yeah, I just don't feel, and it does make you think about kind of like, because, you know, I've never been one of these people who like has this, you know, like romantic affinity I do have an affinity with my club, but I don't have an affinity with the board or the chairman or anything like that. They're there to do a job. I'm there to enjoy a product. But it makes you think, next year, do you invest so much in the product where people are actually willing to let you die just for the product to maintain?
Yeah.
You know, it does make you think about that.
Yeah, no, it's a fair point. Was you fan, Basil, of the idea of, you know, I heard a lot of fans just playing behind closed doors. That was you, wasn't it? I think that was you, to be fair. For
just hanging me out to dry.
I am. Just play behind closed doors, but the football's got to continue. Or do you think that postponements are the best option going for the foreseeable future?
Postponements are definitely the best option. I was just waiting for it to happen. But I don't think the Premier League were going to do it anytime soon. I think they're probably going to squeeze out one or two more games where you will still have the fans at the stadium. And you can tell they're going to do that based upon the Arsenal v Man City game that was cancelled because Arsenal players were in contact with the Nottingham Forest owner who tested positive for it. The fact that occurred and that game was cancelled and they're still willing to go on the weekend, that tells you a lot about what the Premier League were thinking. But I think they're probably going to squeeze out maybe one more weekend with the fans, and I think they're going to play everything else behind closed doors. I think that was their plan. But I think, as Joel said, when the NBA and other sports started kicking and say we're cancelling, and when they had the two cases, I think they were forced to just abandon football altogether. And I still think they've underestimated the three-week timeline that they've put in place for football to be postponed for.
I think they did that to give themselves time to find another infrastructure to encompass the games.
Between now and April.
It gives them up until about a week or a couple of days before then to announce, obviously we can't play, but this is what we're going to do. This is what we're putting out on the table, or they'll drip freely in the press and see what one...
Which feels, again, quite smart to me.
I mean, listen, I get protecting your business, bro. I totally get it. Yeah. And also, there's this whole notion that nothing's as important as this, right? Sport is not as important as this, right? This is real life. I get that. But we're going to need sport soon as a distraction, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we're going to need something because, you told over 70-year-olds self-isolate up to 4 months. You know what I mean? That's what is that? That's a quarter of a year, indoors. Huh? Do you get what I'm saying?
I thought that was a smarter bit of governance as well, because they know that if you're 70 and over, the high chances that you're going to be at home on your own anyway. How many over 70-year-olds do you know that are
I'll be honest, I sat in a press box with one the other day, and before this ban came in, So I just dropped my phone. Before this ban came, well, it's not a ban, before the suggestion, because that's all it is at the moment, there was another suggestion that they're not going to be no over a certain age, 70, in the press box. So he was sitting there next to me at the Chelsea game, saying, like, you know, you won't see me in a couple of weeks. I'm not allowed to come, apparently. You know what I mean? And I could see the
pain.
He was
hurt,
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's surely his decision if he wants to put himself amongst the diseased folk.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say? Like, let him make that decision. But obviously, from a corporate perspective, do Chelsea want to do any club, not just Chelsea, want to be responsible for that?
No.
Class action's a real thing.
I personally, I was speaking to some journalists over the weekend, and one of the guys was saying to me, I was doing a show, he doesn't think there's going to be any sport being played until September.
I agree.
At the earliest. And
you might be right.
I tend to agree with that. It's difficult to kind of really put a date on it at the moment because this is changing every single day. But with the Premier League, start with you, Basil. Are you a proponent of cancelling the league or postponing it, no matter how long it takes, but finishing the league?
It depends on how they rejig the fixtures for next season. That's the only way. I mean, if they have a plan in place that we can finish the league much later, but still maintain the amount of games that need to be played for next season in light of possibly the Euros being moved to next summer, then it's fine. If they can't, they have to just null and void the whole season. Just cancel it.
You can't do that, Basil.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately,
it's the case. And when it was first suggested, I actually laughed at that notion. But when I look at how serious this whole virus is impacting other countries, I realise it's actually a real possibility. I mean, I've heard all the Liverpool sympathisers come out and say, hand Liverpool the league and, you know, maybe bring up West Brom and Leeds and have
can't do that
22 games.
Yeah.
But I was like, you can't reward one team. And what about everyone else?
Yeah.
You know, just because you want the romantic ending that Liverpool have, you know, had a good season in the Premier League and deserve it. People, I was like, they haven't mathematically won the league, but people are like, well, they're league winners anyway. I was like, no, they're not.
I think both your kind of suggestions, none of those can work for me. For me, you have to finish the league. And if it means that you play the remaining 9/10 games in September, in January, then so be it. But you've got to, for the integrity of the league, surely, you have to finish the league.
But surely, if it, like I said, I think it is. How can we have a league that doesn't finish? But surely,
because
if it's
coronavirus.
Yeah.
No, but football will return at some point.
Of course.
But this one
was interrupted by coronavirus.
Yeah, but then the next one can't start until this one finishes.
The next one can't start if there's coronavirus, bro.
But no, but what I'm saying is the football will return.
Jordan, whatever it returns in September.
No matter when it returns.
So what?
Oh, you're saying, okay. So
if it takes a year.
So you're saying,
you can't finish the league.
So you're saying, hold on, let me get straight. So you're saying they have to finish this season.
Yes.
So other seasons can get impacted futuristically.
One season.
One must be finished.
Yes.
I'm with George. So your team can slip out the top four?
No, we're
into top four. Hold on a minute. Listen.
Believe me, there's nobody in this room, Joel, that would love to see the league cancelled and Liverpool not lift the Premier League title. Believe me on that one. But if I put banter to one side, you can't not finish a season.
Okay.
For me, that's not an option for me.
Right.
Now, we don't know, as you mentioned, then. We don't know how long this is going to take.
Of course.
But if it takes 6 months, it's 6 months. If it takes a year, it's a year. I'm being serious.
That's nuts. You know why? You're not taking into consideration player contracts.
No, I am.
You're saying whatever Liverpool team is about in 6 months or
the league finishing for me is still more important than that problem.
But Chulda, you need to think of it like this. Okay. Even let's say it's 6 months to a year, they're paying all these players' contracts without earning any revenue. How do you expect the
smallest violin is here for Liverpool or any Premier League club for paying out for a year? Come on, they're gonna be okay.
I'm not worried about that.
Come on, that's the least of the problems. Come on.
No, but I'm telling you insights of how the clubs are thinking. because they're more thinking about the financial impact to themselves. And clubs are very selfish. They're thinking, well, we're paying all this money out. We're not receiving any gate receipts. Sponsorships are not there for our television money.
I think Liverpool will be fine with that as long as they get their title. Yeah. Don't worry about that.
They could sign Gerrard up and stuff. Sign him up as a free and let him get a Premier League title.
So you genuinely think there's the possibility of not just cancelling the league is on the table?
I think in these circumstances, that's all right. Personally, I genuinely think this is all right for them to catch the league. But give it every chance to finish. You know what I mean? Give it every chance. Yeah. Explore every option. Mm. And it only takes, 14 Premier League clubs to agree on whatever the way forward should be. Yo, the lobbying going on behind the scenes
must be crazy.
Like, I'm just saying, I think this is enough of a global...
Because there's not many games left. There's only 9 and 10 games. You could bang out 2 months.
I'm not talking about banging out. I want quality. I don't want to just finish.
No, but I think in these circumstances... No. In these circumstances, we've just got to finish the league.
No, we can just write
play the 10 games.
We can write it off so that we get quality. You're talking about integrity of the league and you're just saying bang out games
that
you can bang out.
No, because under these circumstances, finishing the league is more important than having 10 quality games.
You're placing that importance on it. I'm saying what's more important is that people are safe. When people are safe, if you want to decide to play the league, cool. But I'm saying, like, what about the start of the league after that?
That's not the priority right now. The future, not the priority. The future is this season.
You can end it, right? See, that's an option. No. You're just not considering it as an option. And I get where you're coming from. For you, it's not an option.
Not for me.
But for me, it is, man. For me, it's an option. Like, done it. Call it a wrap. Hey, what?
So who comes up?
No, you just got to write it all off.
Teams have spent money.
They've done that anyway.
That will be a lawsuit.
Jay, even if it is 6 months or a year, they've done that anyway. They're going to spend money anyway. None of that. So it's either end it or don't. I'm saying give it every chance.
I'll tell you why also.
But don't impact on next season. If we get to.
So who. I'll ask you this question.
Yeah.
Who goes into the Champions League next season?
No, but.
The ones that finished.
No, but the league's not finished.
No,
but I agree with you, Joel. Here's the thing. I personally wouldn't want the season null and void. I think it's an option they will consider. Because if they do that, the amount of lawsuits and the amount of teams that will sue the FA.
I think there'll be more lawsuits on the opposite. If they don't finish this league,
yeah, that's
and
what
they
I'm saying.
Cancel.
Yeah,
oh, sorry.
If,
okay,
yeah,
sorry,
so if
sorry,
they null
sorry.
And void it, yeah. That's the biggest risk the Premier League and the FA have.
Yeah, yeah.
The amount of lawsuits that will come in as to, well, we were in this position. Potential loss of earnings. You owe us this amount of money if they do that. Like I said, the only way they can avoid that is
100%
TV money, and then customers will want refunds for the sports packages. Season tickets holders will say, "I want money." There's a ricochet effect. So, like I said, I agree with you. The best option for the Premier League and for the FA is for them to finish everything.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that happens, nobody knows.
I think they've got to cancel the Euros.
No, not postpone it.
I mean, cancel it.
Cancel?
Well, no, I just do it next year.
I love the Euros.
I love the Euros as well. I love the Euros as well, but I think there's a possibility. I think that's got to be on the table because I think you've got to finish all the European leagues.
That hasn't started, has it? So that can... You know,
it hasn't started. Mm-hmm. It was an experimental one this time anyway.
It's risky if
they scrapped it and just said, you know what? We'll come again in 4 years' time. We'll scrap that one. I don't think anybody would be really, like, overly bothered.
Do it next year, right?
No, but if we don't start playing football again until September, October, November, then you got to give two people a break, 2 month break after their seasons. You got World Cup qualifiers starting.
You've
got the World Club Cup. You've got other competitions that are UEFA.
You know what? It's fine. I'm easy with the Euros. You know.
if it was World Cup, I'd have had.
You know what? I was actually thinking about it. Like when I was younger, the Euros probably would have been the Euros and the World Cup would have been the thing that would have broke my heart the most.
Yeah.
Now it's like the Champions League.
Well, you're getting knocked out soon anyway.
I still want to see it. I don't know where that. We're not out yet. Just like you said, we're Liverpool are qualified. We're not out.
You're definitely out. So to free up some time for next summer, then the women's Euros as well.
Yeah.
Would you consider cancelling the Euros, just scrapping it?
Currency and who's euros?
so you're right.
You're like that, cuz.
Put you on the spot there.
I heard the question. Men's euros.
Do you want to get rid of the women's thing? Is that what you're saying?
I should have a football bonanza next year. Lots of football on telly. Play the women's and the men's euros in one summer. Make it a big celebration after the corona outburst of 2020.
So do you think, schedule-wise, that they could still have that next
honestly
summer?
No, that I'm, you see, this is what happened. This is one of the things that frustrates me. A lot of people just chat without thinking about what's going on. So that's me just chatting without thinking what's going on. I don't know if that'd be logistically possible, to be honest with you. More in favor of your earlier suggestion of cancelling this men's Euros this year. Cancel it. Yeah. Cancel the league. I'm for cancelling. Cancel. Cancel. Listen, I'm telling you, the thing's going to peak. We're going to get on top of it, and everyone's going to feel sweet, and then it's going to be winter, and it's coming back with a vengeance.
But Jordan, you know, Jordan, you know why he's saying it? Because Tottenham have got so many injuries, innit?
We'll get Tottenham in a little bit. Don't worry. There's a Tottenham part of this podcast as well.
Chelsea got injuries. But we still managed to smack you up.
The sun shines on our dogs on Sunday. You know what I mean?
We'll get Tottenham in a little bit. Don't worry about that. So just to wrap up Corona on football and sport generally, if we all semi-agree that there's going to be no football for the next 3 months at least, we all agree on that. We all agree on that. And people will be saying, oh, there's more important things happening than football and sport. I mean, we get that. That's a given. But this is a football podcast. So what are you guys going to be doing over the summer? Because this was meant to be a really big summer of sport with the Euros, the Olympics, the Paralympics, Wimbledon, F1 season, end of the Premier League, cricket. That's all done.
Jordan, I have no idea. I need to speak to someone who didn't like sport and find out what they do. Because I have absolutely. I mean, people are talking about
go
these really wacky sport ideas. You can't even go to the theater now.
True.
You know,
I mean, I've picked up a new hobby.
Well, talking to your missus.
Is it clean?
No, I've learned to take more steps in my house.
Walking around your house.
Walking around my house more.
Wow. Does anyone think that a lot of people in the 6 months, if we kind of just put 6 months on it as an arbitrary number, does anyone think that a lot of football fans at the end of the 6 month period might realise when it's back that they didn't actually miss it?
No one.
And they might actually realise that they tried something different. Because a lot of people I know feel quite disillusioned with football. They really are, for various reasons. And I was thinking over the weekend, I wonder if anybody will be like, you know what, actually football, didn't miss it, you know, didn't really miss it.
Depends what they fill the void with. I mean, they might just be sitting there clucking, if to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Football, you know the history, man. Football starts tribal wars in this country. People preoccupies people with time. They need football. Football's church. Certain churches could fill their, you know, I mean, their space like the stadiums do. They'd be laughing. It's needed, you know what I mean, in this country. So I don't know about all that. I think people can't wait for the day it comes. But you see what people are like before a season starts. It's like, God, I can't wait. Even though they've had a whole summer of sport, you know? Like, we're sport in this country where sport is concerned because it's part of the fabric of being
the big,
British.
It's a big sport in the country. Yeah, you're right.
So, yeah.
Speaking of being spoiled, that was an awful segue, but whatever. Spurs.
Spoiled to what?
Spoiled with losers. Spoiled with losing us.
Okay, here we go.
We got you on the pod here, Joe. We had you, last time we had you on, you were talking up Jose.
You were
happy and you were like, yep, we got the guy in. I mean, to be fair, even before you got to Spurs, you were a big Jose fan. He's your guy. Right, there we go. And I warned you it was going to turn sour, but I'm not going to say I told you so yet because it is still early.
I'm glad you said that.
It is still early. So although I think it will turn sour, give the man a pre-season at least. Where are you at with Tottenham? Because the last few weeks, it was bad for you guys. It wasn't good.
Yeah. March ain't been good. That's just the bottom line. March hasn't been good. Out of the Champions League, out of the FA Cup, to teams that should have beat, could have beat. I mean, I know Leipzig have been... They've had a moment in the Bundesliga. They weren't in fighting fettle coming into our games, but you know they were good enough to get up for the occasion and come into, you know, biggest stadium in London. You get up for it, you know what I mean? That's just how it is.
Biggest stadium in London.
But yeah, no. To be fair on Jose, what do I think so far?
What have you made of? Because one thing to have a bad month and to lose games,
yeah.
But what have you made of his approach to those games,
yeah.
the rhetoric around the management of the certain players and yeah. certain games. What have you made of his management?
I
in
know
that
what
month?
To expect from him coming in. So nothing's a surprise, really. And if anything, what's been interesting to watch from my perspective is, you know, what did you tell Daniel when you took the job under the circumstances that you took it? Looking at the squad, being a friend of Poch, really assessing what is needed and where we want to go. What did you say? And so what's transpiring for me is his game plan, innit? Which was, he said to Daniel, don't worry about how it looks. Let me do my thing. Let me get to grips with it and then make an assessment of what I've done at the end of the season. So there would have been targets. Obviously, we wouldn't shoot for top four, all of that sort of stuff. And to be fair to the guy, Jordan, he took over, what, November 23?
Okay.
West Ham was his first game. Mm-hmm. Away. We won that. Mm-hmm. First time, as he said, there'd been music in the away dressing room where Spurs was concerned for 11 months, right? Mm-hmm. Since that point, up until the 1st of March, nobody had better form than Tottenham other than Liverpool. Check it. Check
no,
it.
No, I don't know that, but I believe you.
So, for me, while the results might have looked up and down all over the place, the way he's playing, the players he's testing, the way he's hanging people out to dry, he's using this time to get to know this squad. And you need to do that because he ain't going to have any of the money he's had at previous clubs to get it right once the season starts, whenever it does. Let's just say it started on time. So I'm happy so far. Not a good month. And I think it was upsetting to start the month by losing at home to Wolves the way that we did. You know what I mean? That for me was a bad loss. No loss is good, but that was a bad one because it set a precedent for what was to come, which is rolling out the FA Cup to Norwich. Bad loss. Didn't beat us in the game, but beat us on penalties. Mm. And then we've gone out to Leipzig. So March just looked dire. And obviously, we've had all the challenges that we've had in terms of players.
Don't forget us beating you.
Did that happen? Was that March?
Even I forgot that one to be fair.
Was that March?
I don't know when it was, but yeah. Don't forget.
I skipped February because of that. No, listen, I was talking of that game, both of those games, it was that we lost to Chelsea. It's actually.
Home and away.
Actually.
Going back to normal.
I wrote about this. I don't think that's happened to Jose.
Frank's the first manager to beat a moment away.
To beat a moment away. So
what, that, not Pep?
No, I don't think no one's done that to him. No one. So that was unprecedented.
Pep must have beat him at the Bernabeu.
No, I think as Barca boss.
No, I think he beat him at the Bernabeu, but then they got other results.
Yeah. So that was big feather in Frank's cap, and they played well at our house. Played well at our house, and they were up for it. We weren't as up for it at your house, I think. Game could have gone either way, don't you?
No? Yeah. I put the key in the back of the
van. For a second, he thought, yeah, actually, we won. I told you.
Chelsea win.
I actually look at those two games, the loss to Liverpool at home, there's another one as well.
City.
Southampton. Oh, we beat City. That was a surprise.
So many defeats. You can't remember City.
Actually, you're talking about surprise games. Those points there. We nick something out of our games. It looks a lot better for us. Mm. It just doesn't at the moment. So I think sporadic ups, downs.
What did you make of his treatment of Ndombele?
I think it's been great.
Mm.
I told you this before. Yeah, because he doesn't know him. No one knows him at the club. What? No one knows him. So why is he trusting him? I'm just saying, nothing about what he's done so far at Spurs makes you think, yeah, top quality baller who I'm going to put all my trust in this position that he's meant to be good at. Nothing about what he's done suggests that. So he's got to earn that trust.
But the public hanging him out to dry? Hold him off at half-time?
Yeah, but have you seen? Listen, it's frustrating, you know? Watching him run about, not look like he's got a clue.
I tipped him at the start of the season to be the player of the year.
I'll be honest with you, because you looked at the 60-odd million that we spent for him and you thought Spurs don't do that, so he must be something.
No, I'd seen him.
Oh, have you?
I'd
seen him as well.
But the first game of the season, it was Villa.
Yeah, it's Villa.
Remember. But he scored, didn't he?
He did score.
Yeah,
he scored. Villa.
Yeah.
And he didn't play well, but he scored. But one thing I noticed about him was he looked heavy.
Mm.
And I know he's come from a different league and it was the first game of the season, but he still looks heavy.
From his jogging on the
he
spot.
He still looks like he can't move.
Yeah, he's jogging on the spot. And I think Jose wants to play him. He's probably seen all the tapes. Everybody knows. what he can do, but I don't know if he's up for it. I said the same thing about Son, so I could be wrong. In the first season of Tottenham, I'm not. Sometimes I look at players in their first season, and I think,
is he about?
Do they want it?
Yeah.
They, it's a lot of work to really be
a Premier League
in this
player.
Premier League. You understand? It's a lot of work. And when I saw Sonny come back the second season, I looked at him in the first game and I said, "Who's that, brother? He's been in the gym. No, he's been in the gym. That you there? Okay, you're on this thing, yeah." I just want to see how this boy bounces back, man. He's had no Sissoko, who was his little
when
he came, as I said on the show before. It's been hard. No one knows him. He's at a club that when he came was in turmoil. He must have thought, yeah, what? They're not, yeah, Champions League finalists. Got there. It's dramas. After dressing room ain't talking to each other. It's been a horrible inception for him. And I'm not saying that it's been any better for Lo Celso, who's... looks like he's a duck to water. He's buckled down and said, yo, I'm nicking this spot. What is a spot in the middle? It's for me, bro. I'm happy. I don't talk English either. You know what I'm saying? So it's different. It's horses for courses, right? So he hasn't hung Lo Celso out, has he? He's a man he don't know either. But,
that's
you know.
True. Yeah, that's just fair. And on the opposite side of the scale, Basil, you wasn't having Arteta from day and you're still not having him, are you? Just briefly, what have you made of since you were last on the pod of Arsenal and Arteta?
I mean, I still don't watch Arsenal live. Wow. I just see the result and see what's happening.
Dear.
I mean, it's like I say, it's bigger problems than Arteta. But ultimately, I don't think he's ready for that type of job. You can tell. I don't think he's even got the message to the players to how he truly wants to play. The football's still very slow, and attacking wise it still isn't great. They're a bit more organised at the back, but I still don't know what Arteta's brand of football really is. I see more of a passing style, but I'm like, well, you did that under Pep. Like, show me an Arteta team, and I still don't know what that is.
But do you not think that, this is Arsenal fans, there's so much undoing of bad habits at the club and the team, that before you even get to football style, they need to be fit. That's the first thing. They need to be fit to be a pro. We're seeing with Liverpool and Manchester City, and the two seasons previously, even with Spurs, the teams that do well in this league are fit. They all work hard and run hard. Yeah. Arsenal don't do that. That's the first thing he's got to do.
I agree, yeah.
Second thing he's got to do is change the mentality of jumping and winning every second ball, not getting beat at the byline. Yeah. Those basics, that comes before style of play, surely, no? So before you see the football that I think you want to see, you got to get the basics right. And you have to admit that the team is working a bit harder.
Yep.
They're not getting beat as much as they were prior to him getting there. Is that not in the, 4 or 5 months he's been there, enough as a basis to make you think, okay, I'm still not for him, but I'm at least seeing the kind of the basics being addressed.
Why?
Yeah, because even tactically, Jordan, I look at some of his player selections, it still baffles me. I look at the timing of his substitutions, it baffles me. Even when he brings on certain players, I'm like, why did you bring him on? And why hasn't the shape changed a bit? I mean, the jury's still out on him. I'm willing to give him time, but at this time, I'm not convinced whatsoever.
Has Arsenal's league position improved? Has the results improved?
It hasn't, but this is my thing. Sorry to cut you, John. I'll let you finish. But my thing is, when people keep saying, oh, we're not winning games, oh, we're not winning at the table.
But that's what you're there to do.
No, but I think, like I said, there's a bigger job at Arsenal. We're not going to win the league anytime soon. So for me, if Arsenal is serious about having Arteta as a long-term guy to turn Arsenal around on a long-term basis, you've got to take a long-term approach to this. You can't just, 4 months, you've not moved at the table. He's got a lot of work to do. Arsenal were in a bad way.
But that
doesn't change in 4 months.
It's just that you were almost there giving him superlatives.
No,
all he's done is go draw.
No, but you know why, G? Because I'm looking at the results. I'm looking at the groundwork he's doing. I'm looking at the stuff that brings results later.
You know what?
Get the performances right first, and then results will come.
You know what it reminds me of? Like when Gus Hiddink came in, he got a couple of draws for Chelsea. You remember? Yeah. I mean, everyone's like, oh, he's came in, he steadied the ship. 6 months later, oh yeah, he steadied the ship. And all that happened was the ship steadied, but it never ever got better.
The difference is, you guys had, that was a decent team he had. It was a much better team than this Arsenal team.
But this
he had good players in that
but
team.
But this Arsenal team was better than 12th or 13th or whatever they are.
Maybe it is, but like I said, I think he knows he's not getting sacked anytime soon. So if you're not going to get top four, which was never going to happen, he might as well spend the rest of the season, it's void now, according to Basil, he might as well spend the rest of the season working out, okay, who am I going to bring into the next season? Who can I trust? Who can I rely on? Who's good enough? Forget wins. When we drew with you 2-2 at Stamford Bridge, everyone was talking about the fact that it was a great Arsenal comeback and we got a point in the... Whatever your view on whatever it was. But for me, even if we'd have lost that game, I think he's looking at how we react to being 2-1 down. I think he's looking at how do we respond to being away at Chelsea... We had a man down. How do my team respond?
Yeah, but
the point was good, but what was more important to him, and I think to me, G, yeah, is the fact that these guys are responding to me and they're fighting.
Yeah,
the point was immaterial for me.
But Jordy, if you don't follow that through with results and wins, the responses will go away.
Eventually, G, I agree with
not
that.
Not even just eventually, by the end of the season it can happen. This is how short term four players are now. If you don't start winning games, Aubameyang ain't going to be running up and down the pitch.
No, but Aubameyang's not going to stay if we weren't going to get top four anyway. Do you know what I mean? If we don't get top four, he's probably going to go anyway. So I think he's looking beyond Aubameyang. He's looking at who are the guys that I can take into next season and do what I need to do to get this team in some kind of competitive shape.
I think...
When it beating Southampton, this team 2-0, it's immaterial. How are they playing?
Yeah, George, I'm only challenging you because, like I said, there's a lot of this from Arsenal fans where they're almost talking as if it's going well. The first few games, there was a talk of it going well. And they were like, I was like, hold on. Like, I didn't look at your results, but I heard the kind of the Arteta gas and, oh, yeah, sexy football orders.
Nobody was saying sexy football. that is bullshit. Don't lie. No one's ever been playing sexy football.
People were excited. And then I looked at the results and I thought, these results are terrible. If you just said, you know what?
Do you know what it is, Jordan?
If people were just saying, you know what, he's done bad, but I'll give him to next season, I wouldn't even challenge it.
you're talking about Arsenal fan TV, and that's the extremity of fans that are one week sack the manager.
I reckon
the
it's
next
a microcosm
week
of the real fans. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what it is, Jordan?
You use our extreme, man.
I think we've got a very schizophrenic group of fans. Yeah, yeah. Agree, but my stance is that I'm excited we've got him, and I've seen improvements.
Excited? That's the worst. You know what?
I'm excited because I'm seeing the groundwork being done. You're looking at results still. You're thinking you shouldn't be excited for being ninth. I'm not looking at the table.
No.
I'm looking at the results. I'm looking at the groundwork.
I'm saying there's nothing to be excited about. That's what I'm saying.
It's because it was so bad under Emery. But anything that came out slightly better, Arsenal fans rejoice. And I'm like, no, realistically, we're only slightly better than what it was under Emery.
Are they even better?
I'm not sure we're even better.
Oh, yeah, we're slightly better.
I'm not sure we're better, but my point being, I don't talk for Arsenal fans. Me as an Arsenal fan, what I'm saying is, he's not the second coming. I'm not saying that we're playing sexy football for sure, and I'm not saying that we're going to do anything in terms of competitively getting top four. What I'm saying is that I acknowledge that Arsenal are in pieces. And I think that we're so far off being a competitive top three, top two team. You can't look at short-term wins. You can win the next four games and then what does that mean? For me, what's more important is, what is the groundwork he's doing to set up the wins for next season?
Okay, but don't be excited by that, Jack, please.
You've
really fallen off a cliff, if that's what he's saying.
You're trying it. You are deliberately reinterpreting what I'm saying. I'm not in my yard getting excited with popcorn and beers because we drew 1-1 with Southampton.
He's saying downplay the enthusiasm for what's mediocre, basically.
Who's he saying that?
Yeah, that's essentially what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
The results
as well,
are mediocre.
No.
The results are mediocre.
Everything is mediocre.
No, it's not. I don't agree.
I mean, listen, it's Arsenal got a rebuilding job to do. They're doing it. It's being assessed at every point and turn. And I don't necessarily think that presents the best picture on how well a manager's done in whatever short length of time he's been there, Arteta. it's all immaterial until the end of the year. Then you can make a real assessment and say to yourself, okay, what does he need? Who's gone? is he the guy to pull this all together? And that's it, really.
And if he's not, I will happily be the first one in the queue saying, get the hell out of my club.
Yeah,
I'm not wedded to Arteta like that. But what I'm saying is, I think it's wrong to look at results and be like, he ain't doing a good job. Because the job is bigger than 4 or 5 wins in a row. I don't care for that. Because when Solskjaer came to United, look what happened there when he first came in.
Yeah.
If Arteta won his first 6 games, G wouldn't be saying this. No. But we're playing crap, but we won 5 games in a row.
To be fair, Ollie's turned the corner now.
And how long has it taken him?
But my point is, he's had the chance to do it. That's my point. He's had the chance to do it. Came in, hit the ground running, plateaued, dipped,
but
back on the up. The game, right?
But the difference is, Ollie got his props when he was doing well. And when he was doing shit, he got crucified.
He took it.
But it's like, Arteta's doing nothing. Next year, you're excited. This is what I want to know. Because has Arteta done anything more than what Jose's done? But Jose's being slewed. I'm not even... I think Jose's rightly being slewed. But what? Shouldn't Arteta be in the same bracket?
No, because he's not in the Champions League. So, no.
I don't think that's an accurate comparison, personally.
It's two different jobs and two different points in their evolution.
Yeah, but in terms of what they're achieving...
The managers themselves.
Is Jose achieving any much less than Arteta?
No.
I don't know if that he is.
He's probably getting 3 times what Arteta's getting paid. He's coming in. No. I'm not questioning that. What I'm saying is that he should get scrutinised more than Arteta.
What, because of the money he gets?
No, because of who he is.
I just think if you're a Premier League manager, you get scrutinised, my brother.
No, of course you do. No, of course you do. But if you're Jose Mourinho, you're going to be under more scrutiny than Mikel Arteta, so you're going to get more heat.
But you don't see Tottenham fans saying they're excited about what's happening. That's
Tottenham fans are a unique bunch anyway, because they've got no standards to kind of really get back.
And maybe that's what's skewing your perspective.
Maybe I'm deluded, but
I don't think you are. I actually think what you're saying makes sense to me. You know what I mean? And it's nice and refreshing to hear it coming from Aguna, because if they're not moaning, they're over celebrating.
That's what I'm saying.
There's no middle ground.
It's a schizophrenic fan base.
That's what I'm saying. It's schizophrenic. Man.
I'm just level. And because I'm not calling him out, these guys want me to kind of blast Arteta because he's not winning wins. I'm not going to do that.
He hadn't had enough time. And you're right to identify the bits of the job that need addressing, because that's the game.
Yeah.
It's not a magic wand. There's going to be parts of that dressing room that he's like, eh? I've got to work with what?
Yeah.
No, man, let me bring in one of them yeats. I don't care if he's 5'4", come true.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? For me, that's what it is. You know, give him time. Listen, I hope the wheels come off and it don't work.
Yeah.
I hope the bottom scrapes on the circuit, personally.
Yeah, I know you do.
Give the guy time,
man. Yeah, anyway.
Give the guy time, it's fair.
I'll give him time.
Excited move.
You said it, Jordan.
what about who do you think is going to nick? Because Leicester, I think, have got the worst form of all
do.
The teams above Tottenham. Yeah. And only Wolves and Man United
Sheffield
haven't
United.
Taken an L in their last 5, right?
Yeah.
Who's going to nick those Champions League spots? Forget the first two.
Arsenal.
Even I can't back that. As it was before Corona kicked in.
Yeah, as it stands.
Oh, is it that?
Yeah, as it stands.
Well, you can't, because form
changes.
When it starts, form changes.
Yeah, I guess fitness. Form's out the window.
You know what I mean? But as it was, I was tipping Chelsea and I think I went Wolves.
Ooh, so Leicester drop out then? In that estimation.
Yeah,
I think they're going to run one. Interesting.
They had a good win before it closed. Yeah.
I went Chelsea and Wolves.
And I think that
I can't call that one. I think for me, it was
Wolves or United.
I think Sheffield United. Because of the form. Sheffield United. Yeah. I think Sheffield United might have scraped it.
I don't. I think Wolves United.
I think as closer they get,
they would have got Europe, but not top four.
I think they might have scraped
it. But even that's a great season for them. But how big? And I don't know. Is the answer to that question? Just answer my own question. Not taking over your show, Jordan.
No.
But how big as Nuno Espirito Sanchez? Santos.
Yeah.
How big has he been in the last couple of years?
I think, to Klopp aside, he would have been manager of the year for me.
For this year?
For this season.
See, it's funny, because last year I said if it weren't for Pep, he'd have been manager of the year for me.
The reason why I think this year
Europe,
he's my guy.
Europe adventure?
Well, yeah, because I just think Wilder at Sheffield United is getting a lot of hype and a lot of praise, and rightfully so.
He's just doing what Nuno done last year.
I think to do it 1 year,
you get
props, cool.
Yeah.
To do it a second year,
done.
And you get rated.
And
for
in
that.
The Europa League too.
I tipped Wolves to go deep in the Europa League this season.
Right.
But I did say I think they'll do that to the detriment of their league form.
Yeah,
and
it didn't start well,
but to be fair to them, they're killing it in the Europa League and they're still battling for top four. So exactly. I was like, boy, you surpassed even what I was predicting you could do this year.
Their fans should really be excited.
Follow us on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Subscribe to the show. It's full out here. It's chatting rubbish. This could be our last pod for a while. So no more fools in this pod for next season, whenever that starts. iTunes and Spotify.
Their fans should be excited.
No, it's done. The pod's done, John. The pod's done. Go on, no, last word.
I was continuing talking about Nunes.
Go on.
I think he's supposed to get some props because he don't get enough props for me. How many black managers? I'm going to call him a black How many black managers in the Premier League?
It's just him, innit?
And he don't get no props.
And he gets props from me.
He's doing is downplayed. If he was Chris Wilder,
yeah, that's true.
He'd be up for a knighthood.
They're chatting about Chris Wilder being one before Arteta got the job. He was in the Arsenal. mentioned as a possible Arsenal. And I'm like, whoa.
Slow your roll.
Whoa.
If you can get that, slow.
Whoa.
Do you get me? No, for real. So I rate Chris Wilder. They done a number on us at the lane, right? I've seen them play. I actually had to go up there and watch them play because I've seen them play on the road. And I thought, let me see how they play at home. You know what I mean? He's got them. It's fantastic what he's done. Great job. And like you said, if he can do it again next season, props, hat off to him, especially if they get the Europa Cup.
I need to see 2 years in a row. Same with strikers. Any striker that scores 30 goals first season, props, do it again.
Do it again. Yeah, no, I agree. This is why when Salah done what he's done, it's like, ain't going to do that again. But Nunes.
On Nuno, just final thing. I don't want to be disrespectful and fall into this kind of thing of, should he go to a tier higher, like a top club? Because he may well feel that, you guys may feel that he could in 2 years' time make Wolves a top four team.
Yeah.
But if you were United this summer, would he be someone that you'd be thinking, boy, let's have a little look?
Man United?
Yeah, no. Sorry, Man United. No. You wouldn't?
In a nutshell. They got Poch free out of a job. If they don't get him, they failed. Simple as that.
I think they're going to stick with Volley, though.
I think so, too.
I think they're going to stick with Volley.
I was going to say, do you think the season being postponed / cancelled helps Ole or goes against him?
Goes against him.
They go against him. I can't see, because you have to now motivate the players again. United.
I don't think he needs to do that, though. Especially if it ends where it ends now, because they're on a high. They know that they've plugged the holes, haven't they? Let's have it right.
They have, but then at the same time, he didn't get the chance. Because I guess, he might have wanted to think. I mean, and
he
to be honest,
top four.
He could have got top four.
And Klopp could have won the league.
Oh, wow.
I'm just saying.
Well, to be fair, Liverpool get a lot of things that they don't deserve to win. Ghost goals, and wins on penalty shootouts and all this kind of stuff. So maybe when they deserve to win something, they get taken away from them.
All right, listen, Grobbelaar said they lifted the curse that was on him. Let's see.
Would there be a funnier thing in for the rest of the time than if Liverpool didn't get the title this season?
Nobody would ever let them forget it.
What are you prepared to do to ensure that Liverpool don't get the title this year?
I can't put that kind of energy out there. I really can't. I'm for ending the season now because of what's happening. Listen, I thought they'd won it, man. Do you know what I mean? If this hadn't happened, I thought they'd won it. I salute them. I salute their manager. I salute the manner in which they've done it. I didn't like the bitching and the moaning he was doing the other day.
It's awful.
But he's done it before. He really doesn't rate defensive football. Now, it's one of the reasons why I like my manager, because he respects all aspects of their game. And because of that disrespect,
really?
Jose, defending and attacking. Mm. I think you forget about the drug. School him for a minute.
I don't think it needs to be said. Jose Hazard is there's an attacking. He just doesn't.
Yeah, I know Porto was a very attacking football that they played when he was at Porto too.
The first time he ran at Chelsea.
He loves big midfielders and defending. He respects our defending. Yeah. I like it. You're trying to put the key in there. He loves it. So for me, like, you know, I love the way that Liverpool won the league this year, especially after what they did last year. I mean, listen, remember back end of last season, it was 14 games on the spin, bruv. Winning, 14 games.
No, I think...
Man,
I think
you had to win to it by a point.
I think, because this will be the last pod for a while, I think we should finish on just maybe recognising, you're right, as much as I can't stand Liverpool, what they have done is an absolute madness.
No, it's a madness.
It's an absolute madness. Yeah, madness. Do you know what I mean? I think that does deserve respect.
Yeah.
I'm not really forgiving them like a posthumous Premier League.
No.
I don't think... You
want them to cross the line.
Yeah.
And I think they will. I don't think they would want to, as much as they say, just give us a Premier League.
Yeah.
I think even their half-assed, they wouldn't want to accept
not in these
a posthumous Premier League.
With an asterisk.
Yeah.
It's got an asterisk. Yeah. Whether they, it's their fault or not, if 15 clubs agree, give it to them. You know what I mean? They deserve it. Forever, it's still going to be, yeah, but you didn't quite win it.
Yeah. I don't think they want it that way. No, so, but we will say, because you know, people say, oh, you was slagging off Liverpool. Fair play. Two defeats in two seasons is an absolute... That's almost
Champions
perfection.
Champions League final. Come on, utmost respect for them, man.
That deserves ratings.
And playing the way they've played.
And another reason why I'm so upset that the season won't start when it's meant to start next year is because I was interested to see how Pep came back at Klopp now. You know what I mean? Because the ball was very much now in Pep's corner, because what Pep did with City for 2 years was an absolute madness. But for then Klopp to then top that, is a dumb madness. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, what? Are we going to the point now where man's got to win every game of the season?
Yeah.
You got to win 38 games.
And Lampard was coming with a super dumb madness. Oh, and he was going
Liverpool said that at the start of the season, though, innit?
We're going to have Lampard, you know.
Liverpool said that at the beginning of the season,
though. They have to win every game. Yeah, and they did.
Them near enough done it.
You did.
You know what I mean? Like, it got boring. Let's have it right. It was boring for anybody who weren't Liverpool.
Yeah, it was.
You
yeah.
I mean? It was boring.
Yeah, it was.
You know what I'm saying? Like, but respect, because you're just thinking, you can't keep... Surely they can't.
Oh, that's enough Liverpool. That's enough Liverpool. Yeah, no more. don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Spotify. Basil, G and Joel, cheers for coming on the pod this week. Probably will be our last pod for a little while, because I very much reckon this studio is going to be on lockdown for the next few weeks. Everyone be safe. If you do have lots of time on your hands, go back and listen to other podcasts that we've put out over the last 4 years. Stock up on all the FFPs. Also, Black Academic TV. If you've got time on your hands, go check out Black Academic Show on YouTube.
Plug, plug, plug.
And just be safe. Peace.